Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, JC.
Howdy.
And I know you guys missed us yesterday, but as I reminded you on Tuesday, I was up at the state capitol doing battle up there, and we have some really, really great news. And for me, it's not just simply great news, but it's the proof of what we preach and the power of the people. I mean, that's something that we really need to grasp, because what we have done in the last few months in our state capitol by simply showing up at the capitol and speaking out is something that I personally needed to experience, something that I know the people that joined us needed to experience, something that I believe every person in America must experience. Now, let me just remind everybody, JC, that I went to three presidential press briefings in 3 months in Washington, D.C. I met people that are changing things, right, for the good. I met people who are influential in the federal system who gave me their cards and said, Chris Ann, let's keep in touch, let's work together, let's do this, okay? 6 months of continual communication, and I've not made one real connection that was helpful or was that I found beneficial in what we do.
As of yet,
okay? However, in 2.5 months of going to the state capitol, speaking before the Senate, speaking to House representatives, becoming involved, just showing our faces and being a part and watching the system, we have defeated two bills and helped a really great bill become law in just 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I've been preaching. This is what we've been teaching here. And let me just be clear. I teach the U.S. Constitution so that people can be aware of how our constitutional republic works. I teach the U.S. Constitution so you will know that all our power is state and local. Really, if there's a sort of summation of what we're doing. And so I'm very excited of the progress that we've seen. And I think, JC, we have so many people that are overwhelmed and defeated. How many times a day do you see somebody, well, you don't spend a lot of time on social media, but you hear people say, it's all over, we can't do anything, I've tried everything, nobody ever listens. And the bottom line is, when you push it, the majority of them are, you know, talking about how I voted and nothing changed, right? Or whatever. And I believe that people feel hopeless and overwhelmed because they're not plugged into the right path for solutions. And it takes a perseverance. It takes a resolve to see an issue all the way through to the end. It's not just a one visit thing. It's not just a one email thing. It's not just a phone call thing. It's something that we have to do. Voting is not how we control government. It's what we do every other single day of the year when we're not voting. And this is the hope that people need, JC. This is the kind of, what is that saying? Nothing succeeds like success.
Right. Jaime Escalante.
People need to see and feel that success. And you're not going to feel that by dumping your money in the black pit called Washington, D.C. You're not going to feel that success with a digital petition to whitehouse.gov. That's not the kind of personal investment that allows you to feel that kind of success. So it's not just about getting things passed. It's about not about opposing the bad things too.
Right.
And it's about being informed, being activated, and being involved. We were able to help push through a piece of legislation that was, I believe, one of the most powerful things I've seen to actually protect parental rights.
So the idea is the closer government, quote unquote, is to the citizen, the faster it is to see change, or we could say the farther away the representatives of people are, the slower it is to enact change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say the greater the distance, the decrease of probability that you personally will make a change. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm talking about people. I'm not talking about, you know, this national PAC and this group and that group. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about individuals coming together as individuals and making and seeing a really great progress.
By the way, this was, and to give a little bit of perspective, you're not talking about, you know, every now and again I pick up the phone or send an email because of some flash thing that happened,
right.
some controversy. So this was a matter of shepherding a particular issue,
right,
through the process and being there, mm-hmm, as the process unfolded, you know, week after week kind of thing.
Right, exactly. And what I discovered for a good number of things, that if you start early enough, it's the whole nip it in the bud. You start early enough in the process of legislation, you have an ability to stop it from even actually moving forward. Like we jumped on here in Florida, SB 64, which was the removal of religious exemptions from mandatory vaccinations. That died in the House. I mean, Floridians jumped on that with a fervor before it ever had the ability to pick up any momentum in the House. The bill came out in the Senate. We jumped on it. We contacted House representatives. I wrote an article. People shared it out. People were involved in talking to the representatives and said, let this die. And that's what happened.
Now, that's the opposition to that is based on objection of conscience, because those vaccines are developed from,
yes,
fetuses of aborted babies?
Yes. Well, there are actually several objections. Number one.
In the religious liberty.
Well,
room,
in,
right?
The religious liberty aspect of it, because it's not just simply a Christian religious liberty aspect, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just simply because, for me, the big thing is because they're developed through the use of aborted babies, right? But you also have the fact that these, the ones that are not developed by aborted babies are developed through the killing of animals. We have people who have a conscious objection to the use of animals for scientific development in this way. We have people who believe that is contributing to those kind of, it's the violation of conscience at all.
Right.
And so there are many different dynamics. So this is actually something that many people joined onto for different conscience reasons. You have the inclusion of mercury in these things. There's a conscience objection to putting those chemicals in our children's bodies.
So it's a matter of having a consistent voice and presence, like,
yes,
persevering in, mm-hmm, in pressure, would you say? So like if you had
It was pressure, but just simply not giving up the first time you don't get a response for your email or you get the standard telephone, thank you for your call.
No, but what I mean, it's not just, like I said, it's not just, hey, I sent a message,
right,
you know, I sent an email to whatever. First off, most of those guys don't get the email.
No, I call them the moat dragons.
So
right?
Really,
they never make it past the moat to get to the prince.
So in a legislative sense, the impactful part is being at the hearings in particular. So when they have a hearing, you're there. And there's kind of a big voice, loud voice,
yeah,
consistent voice.
If it gets that far, right? Mm. But like I said, you can jump in at the beginning. and stop its momentum before it even gets to the hearing part.
So the group brought essentially crowds of people to the legislator's office, right?
You met with the legislator
personally.
Well, and I wouldn't say just crowds. I mean, if you have two or three people who come and then you have a steady flow of two or three people, that's sometimes more powerful than a one-time group of 20. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is small, consistent groups happen to be a representative of a greater demographic than a group of 20 people that says, we're with ABC PAC, right? And so then they can say, oh, well, we looked you up on the internet and ABC PAC really only has 20 people. And so you're not really a big threat. Everybody in your PAC showed up. Well, that's not a threat to us. But when you have individuals that continually come and continually show their faces, who are not necessarily part of a big group, what each individual represents is a community, because the legislators know that the active part of the community is really reflective of a larger base that doesn't make the effort to come out.
Well, and this was several groups persistently making mm-hmm. their presence known over yeah. this period of time, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So
well,
that kind of
I'm not denying groups, right? I'm just
no, I'm saying that adds more. I'm just trying to look at the dynamic. Like the people want to know how do I do this? How do I get this thing done? So I think, you know, the way you solve stuff is you look at successes. You analyze mm-hmm. how what you want done.
Right.
Hey, it's being done here. So then you analyze how is it done. So in this instance, it was. It was helped by mm-hmm. quite a number of groups coalescing, adding their voices.
And individuals coming and adding their voices as well.
But it kind of magnified the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think about our friend Bernie Thompson. I think of two things. Number one, this can, in instances, take a long time. Where you still have to be persistent.
Right, exactly.
And it can be done by one person, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always groups or crowds or a bunch of people.
Right.
But I think of Bernie Thompson. Maybe we'll do, obviously we'll do a show at some point on that. But Bernie trying to deal with politicians, and he was practically one-man band.
Right, but he wasn't doing it at the state legislature level.
No, right? Local.
He's city at the council. City council.
Yep.
The further away, the more people you need. The further away. And one person can really make a huge difference. And that's why I say local is where you have more power as an individual as well.
Yeah, see, I would kind of, if you had, if we're analyzing and you rank the elements, to me the perseverance mm-hmm. would rank higher than number.
Right.
And I'm not sure about, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure about the correlation between farther away you need more people, because, don't you have instances of one person doing the same thing at a higher level as they do locally, but the key is passion and perseverance, it seems to me.
Well, I think if you look at it from this way, take Bernie Thompson as an example. He is able to stand before the city commission and address every single one of them at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that at the house level, at the state level. You have to go door to door to door to door to door. You've got to meet with them individually. You have to, and there's so many more of them. You can get somebody say, hey, I'm with you, man. And then you walk out and they're like, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But at the smaller the government level, the more power you have, because you have a greater leverage over them as a whole.
That's why
I would say at the think about the sheriff. If the sheriff, one person is one person, and you can make an influence as one person very quickly with the perseverance mm-hmm. perspective.
But obviously there are many other elements to it as well. We're talking about one element. So to say, just get a bunch of people and mm-hmm. go after them, and that'll fix everything.
No.
But, obviously there are mm-hmm. other variables in that. But this is an element. Like, you can't just roll over, give up. That's a recipe for no change, right? If you just give up and do nothing.
Well, and the recipe, you can say, there are people who have made changes by doing email programs, right? Mm-hmm. That is a possibility. But there's also a greater likelihood of no success if all you do is shoot an email. I think one thing that is very important is understanding personal contact is invaluable in these kind of situations. And so it's not just enough to send an email. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not perseverance.
Right. No, and I brought up Bernie because he's dealing with corruption, basically the city government. He's facing mm-hmm. the city government. Obvious corruption. Mm-hmm. It's entrenched. It's good old boy. So there's really no one on his side, right? Mm-hmm. There's no, I'm going to go to the sheriff or I'm going to go to this one. No, mm-hmm. They're all in it together. And so I think of the way Bernie Thompson is, you know, he goes to city council and, I mean, he essentially holds court and like you said, answers all of them. And he has an answer. He's educated. He's informed. Mm-hmm. He has the ammunition. And he confronts them and over and over and over again. And what he's done is employ social media and his platform where that he brought in the public, that sort of thing. So it wasn't just him versus the corrupt system, but he utilized as many tools at his disposal with podcast, radio show, mm-hmm. Facebook, all of that until now. And this is years he's been wrestling with these guys. And now we're finally at the level of it got the attention of, basically investigators and they're on the verge of corruption investigation.
Right.
So my point is there are certain elements, right? There are certain elements that are common, but you can't just look at one and like it's just some one single piece solution.
Absolutely.
Right.
But these one thing, but these, tell us, JC, is yeah, there
what's
one
the one thing?
Thing?
I've been one doing thing? That one thing and it's not yeah. working. So
well, there's your clue.
But it's a fact that and I'm not trying to criticize people's efforts, but I'm saying you can do the same things, and that it's not going to guarantee quick success. Mm-hmm. The things are different, and then there's a lot of other elements and tools that you could bring to bear simultaneously. And it can be, a lot of work. It'd be a lot of work, and that's where the benefit of when you have a group, when you coalesce in a group and mm-hmm. pool resources and that sort of thing. You may end up. You may be facing something a lot bigger than you by yourself, and but I think it's good to sort of learn from the successes like that. And I think in this case, it's perseverance, it's coalescing supporters, networking.
Right, the coalescing the supporters is important. It's like James Otis Jr. going around and teaching people what the government's actually doing that's wrong. That's kind of what Bernie did. He was teaching and exposing what was going on. If you have a bad sheriff and a sheriff with a bad attitude that won't do the right thing, then and you've approached that sheriff over and over again, well, you have to write the sheriff off and start turning back to the community, and like Bernie did, exposing the behavior of the sheriff, so then you can come in and get a new sheriff or get somebody else elected. You've got to have the community coalesced or at least a portion of the community coalesced to get the boots on the ground to educate each other and make the change.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you have to have you need to be able to find supporters. Like you need to be able to find legislators who share your idea or whatever the group you're dealing with. Sometimes they're not there. And so sometimes you have to get them in there.
Right.
Which is another element, that maybe you have to step back and come at it at a different way to sort of change the environment to have success.
Right.
That's another thing. It's not some just linear, we got the magic bullet. Mm-hmm. We face that all the time. Everybody's always asking and looking for the magic bullet. What's that thing? How do I do this? JC, Chrisanne, what this thing that I should do?
Yeah.
Most of it's a process. It's a battle. There's no one thing.
I think the first thing you need to do is identify what it is that you want to fight for.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be a master of one.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Yeah. So you can't you can't do every want to try to do everything. You've got to identify that thing that you want to tackle. Now, it doesn't have to be the same thing over and over again, especially with a legislative issue. What's wrong with this piece of legislation? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, we were able to come together and make an effect on three separate legislations, right? Yeah. But it's because the second two we were able to make a difference in, we were able to get the whole nip it in the bud thing, so it didn't have the momentum. So we didn't, you know, it's physics, right? Mm-hmm. If a car is moving 35 miles an hour and a car moving, you know, 3 feet a minute, which is going to be the easier one to stop? And so you gotta catch these things before they get a momentum. That's why groups are also very important.
It's easier said than done. Most situations you look around, the corruption's already pretty high. Already dealing with a pretty big monster. But I get your point.
But that's why having groups are important, because the groups can be focused on issues and they can watch the legislation coming.
Yeah.
They can let you know the other bill that
I'm just thinking more broadly, you know, the principles more broadly in different situations. Yeah. Obviously, the process of legislation, you get in early. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, say you're dealing with corruption in a sheriff's office or city council or, you know, the EPA, whatever it may be. Some things you got to break in, mm-hmm. you got to go around, you got to create new systems. I mean, I think back to some of the stuff we dealt with and watched in our where we used to live, and I remember the one guy literally creating a brand new newspaper in the community. I mean, he made his own newspaper because the news media would cover for and prop up the corrupt individuals in local government.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a situation, especially some of these small towns and, you know, with powerful families and entrenched interests and all that sort of stuff. And people just began to build systems outside of their established system to reach the people, mm-hmm. thereby then, you know, essentially building a grassroots revolt against the system. So, you know, these things are dynamic and different. Each situation is different, and sometimes you have to employ all kind of different methods to kind of go at this. And then, you know, certain things at the end of the day are really, really hard to come up against. You look at, like, this is almost hopeless. It would take me decades to try to do this. And, you know, so some instances, you got to be, you have to start with some little small thing and try to make progress in that area and realize this is going to be over the long term. We've been in some of those situations. It's really frustrating when you look at it and think it's such a big mountain to climb. And so you just pick a little side of the hill and say, I'm going to dig this part out, and then I'm going to train an army to come up behind me until we get this whole mountain removed.
Well, it's like I said, the analogy, it's a matter of physics. The more deeper the roots are entrenched, the harder it is to dig it out. And the bottom line is,
I think places like Chicago or something like that.
How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time.
One bite at a time. And if you can't, I mean, there are so many different ways to attack the beast, that sometimes if you get enough people, you can attack 37 different ways all at the same time. And so,
well, what's nice, it's nice, like you said, being actually in the trenches in so many of these situations and actually seeing that victories can be had, and you see progress. Mm-hmm. You see progress all over the place, and we see victories all over the place. I don't think we've ever sort of entered into not very many endeavors where we see something happen that some progress and some success wasn't had. Have we seen casualties? Absolutely.
Well, I can name a handful of things that I've been involved with and saw no progress in at the time, but I can tell you every single one of them was at the national level.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at one point in time, when I had the ear of Marco Rubio's attorneys, and they actually called me for input and perspective on pieces of legislation, and then to have the attorneys actually laugh at me, and then completely dismiss valid constitutional concerns.
Which one of the things you know, I guess contributed to the idea of when you said we got to raise up a whole new generation of attorneys, because these guys are stuck in that federal supremacist system, and you talk to them and it's like speaking an alien language.
Yeah.
Because they are so
they don't get it.
Removed from the Constitution and our founding principles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's the idea of the swamp. You know, there's this that concept of the swamp. It's everywhere. And we have a completely brainwashed generation. We've essentially been under, you know, military occupation of federal supremacists since the late 1800s. And it's just a whole different mindset and a whole army of people that you're fighting against. And sometimes, you know, that's why there's, and I don't want to say too much, but there's some people using approaches where the principles are sound, but they're trying to do it within the enemy system that they're under control, and they think that the people are just going to, you know, go ahead and agree and do what they say. You're not going to turn to a judge and an attorney in the system and say, this is how it ought to be. And they go, oh, okay. I mean, we have personal friends end up in jail, in prison, because they thought they were going to stand up and just inside of that courtroom, inside of that enemy system. Your system is corrupt. Here's how it's supposed to be. And so this is how it is. And they went, okay, nice try. Here's a fine for impersonating a lawyer. You're going to prison. You know what I mean? Just crazy stuff. So you also have to consider the battlefield and how you work within that. You can't walk up into the enemy camp and expect them to follow your rules.
Well, somebody in the chat room said, well, this is an invitation for Chris Ann to come to our town and show us how it's done. Let me just tell you, I get that. I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek or seriously. But let me tell you, that's not my wheelhouse. But you need to get in contact with the Liberty Institute. You need to get in contact with the Center for Self-Governance. These are two national organizations who will come into your town based on invitation and teach you systematically how to do what we're saying. Mm-hmm. From step one to step 400, not just simply handing you a flyer or a pamphlet or saying, read this book, okay? Mm-hmm. Chris Ann's not going to come and give you the education that you need on how to do that. Chris Ann is following the education that has been given to me by the people who are the experts in that getting it done at the local level thing.
Yeah.
So you need to get in touch with the Center for Self-Governance. You need to get them into your town. They will show you from step one to step 435 on how to make this happen.
Well, we get that all the time. I mean, that's one of the things everywhere we go, and I know you don't want to get in this too deeply, but everywhere we go, everybody wants you to champion their, you know, all the 400 causes a day.
I'm not gonna
make you preach this.
You're not kidding though. I mean, seriously, JC, we get emails every single day. Chris Ann, you need to take up this cause. Chris Ann, you need to take up this case. You need to file this lawsuit. You need to come here and do this, that, the other.
Right. Now, I watch you get up every day at the crack of dawn and go to bed every day almost at the crack of dawn to do what you are doing. So I'm not, you know, if all you guys out there with your causes, and all of them are legitimate, but if you want to go ahead and email us some extra hours in the day, we'll be happy to use those and go dedicate our lives to your cause. But, you know, your mission is really the principles of liberty that we're trying to put into people to equip them to be able to put these things in action. And we're involved in groups, you know, action groups on the ground doing the stuff as well. But your particular focus are the fundamentals and principles that drive those action. And then we work with a lot of groups like the 10th Amendment Center, like Center for Self-Governance.
Right.
A lot of different ones that are resources.
Institute. I meant actually the Leadership Institute.
Right. So there are a ton of that.
If you don't like Center for Self-Governance, then you need to get with the Leadership Institute. Dana Espenscheid is a really good friend of mine, and they are very good at what they do. And Dana, Leadership Institute actually is a nonprofit with government backing. that actually comes in and will do give you training that you need at little to no cost to you at all.
And I love you, Liberty Cause, but I don't have to kick you out of here with that time to walk the walk nonsense. I don't have a tolerance for that. When we get that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You come walk in our shoes for 15 years.
Yeah.
Don't come talking that stuff here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, what we can do is, again, it's the perseverance and it's the, you know, the elephant one bite at a time.
Right.
And that's what we do here on, that's why we come to you almost every day on the Daily Journal, is to bring you these issues. And like JC said, to identify for you these liberty principles. Because you can't
attack people. Maybe some have the impression that this is what you do every day. You just do a podcast.
Oh, so at 5:58, I sit down in front of the camera
and wait for the
ticker to go off, and then all of a sudden, bam, we're on for 45 minutes to an hour, and then Chris Ann has nothing to do all day.
Yeah.
it's something that we take very seriously. I don't doubt that there are some people that run podcasts like that. But it takes hours to prepare for one show.
Well, for seven years straight. Mm-hmm. Well, for the 6 years, we spent 4 days a month at home. Otherwise, we were on the road traveling,
yes,
teaching, training, helping these action groups, and helping people, you know, find what they need to fight these things. Not to mention, you know, then along the way you being involved in particular causes like that. And look, man, I get your frustration. I understand, bro. But we can't go fight everybody's battle. But there are resources out there.
Right.
And, you know.
And as an attorney, I'll just be straight up with you, because people are always like, we need to bring this lawsuit, bring that lawsuit. I am not a litigious attorney.
Yeah.
Because I need Larry Klainer, know,
need our friend Larry.
I don't have. Well, let me put it this way: I am highly cynical to the judicial system.
Right.
You need to hook up with Larry Klainer. You need to hook up with Liberty Counsel. You need to hook up with those groups that are involved in all that really is. And the bottom line, let me give one last piece of advice before we move on, because I do want to talk about the principles and pardons part of this show. But at some point in time, if you have tried everything in your local community and you cannot effectuate a change, what you have to realize is sometimes it's time to cut bait and run. Because if you are doing everything that you can, you think you've done everything that you can, you've exhausted everything, and nothing has changed, what that tells me is that your principles do not match the principles of your community. Your community has adopted a set of principles. Who says they're good or bad? You know, you think they're bad, they're liberty destructive, they don't respect your rights. But in a socialist country, some people support those socialist principles. So we have freedom of movement here. You're not enslaved. You're not chained to a piece of property. And so while we can move, you either defend your pea patch or you have the opportunity to move on.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, that's easier said than done. But,
absolutely.
You know,
but
at some point,
and when it's so miserable that you can't live anymore.
No, I understand. But, you know, it's not like, let me go grab my bag of money and go buy a new house. I mean,
right.
It's true in principle, but it's difficult to do.
Right.
And sometimes you got to retake the system, rebuild the system. I think of, you know, when we were talking to the folks the other day, you've got, basically they've chose to try to work through the Republican Party mm-hmm. system. So they've basically gone back to, I mean, the very nuts and bolts bottom of that system, mm-hmm. which is, precinct members, committee chairperson, and taken over at that point. So
yeah, I mean, we talked to two people the other day who have done that.
Yeah, so, you know, and we've seen that mm-hmm. where that there are certain places in the country, different areas, and people have gone into the REC, Republican Executive Committees, their local Republican groups, become precinct members or precinct leaders in particular, and committee chair people, whatever. And so they basically begin to take over because they rebuild the system from the bottom up. And it took them, you know, some of them it took a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I think back, you think back to back in the, you know, what they called the Ron Paul Revolution, and you see some of the, in the primaries in different places, and you see the basically entire counties, entire areas where Ron Paul Republicans had actually infiltrated and essentially taken over the entire party apparatus.
While the rest of them were pulling their hair out.
By starting at that level.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously they weren't, you know, they weren't able to flip the whole party, but you can clearly see their pockets. You think of the Liberty Caucus and different members and things, 2010 and even now, people, like, there were none of those people there before. So it's made an impact. You have a voice. Obviously you didn't change the whole system, but it's there when the voice was not there, and in their
their particular area. You're making changes incrementally.
Right. But in their county.
How do you eat the elephant one bite at a time? How do you make change? When you're deeply entrenched like this, I just keep thinking back to Bernie. I'm so proud of him. I texted him the other day when he first, you know, showed me his what was happening, what has recently happened. And I said, man, those people in your city are absolutely nuts, but I'm proud of you because you're making them nuttier, right? So Bernie has made it his mission to make these people miserable in their corruption.
And now they're scared to death of it.
And now they are.
And that reminds me of something Richard just said there, makes me think of the story. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but think of the story. Remember the group we visited in Alabama? They basically, you know, have made their own compound.
Yes.
Their own, what eventually turned into a little town.
Yeah,
right?
their own incorporated town.
They have their property. They live there. They were doing their own thing. They kept being harassed by the local government. Mm-hmm. But they kept standing up, pushing back. They were informed, they just kept on. And now it got to the point where the city government, like, left them alone. They're afraid of them, more or less. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of intimidated them out of their way, not by violence or force, but by knowledge and perseverance and courage to stand on their rights. And now, as you said, as the years pass, they've now actually incorporated their own town because they basically did their thing. Mm-hmm. And told the city and the county to pack sands. You got no right to tell us what to do. And that's how that happened eventually. But now you're talking about this happened over the course of 10, 15 years.
Right.
But they persevered and they just kept standing, for their rights.
Absolutely. And it's like you said, it's the perseverance thing. And it's not about, and it's something that I teach through the story of James Otis Jr. Sometimes you have to find victories. And you have to define victory in a different way.
Well, it's a good point, what David said right there. Been at it 40 years, right? So perseverance. Mm-hmm. Can't win every battle. Pick your battles wisely. Win the ones you can. And that's what I always say,
too. And don't get dragged down by the ones you don't.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, seriously, because that's...
Sometimes you lose, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes that motivates you to pick another fight. I mean, look around. You know what? This guy beat me over here. I'm going to go find a kid I can take. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look around, find another battle, get plugged in. You know, I'm not going to let
this
happen to other people, you know, or something equally bad to happen to other people, so I'm going to get involved, whatever. But, yeah, man, sometimes you just got to lick your wounds. And now, it's hard if you're still living under whatever the consequences are of that.
Right.
I mean, clearly.
Right.
But, yes, not saying it's easy, not saying you win every time, but that there are principles, there are processes, there are resources that you can employ. And oftentimes we look and think, well, I've done everything. And then you can get another set of eyes on it, or you can look at it from another way.
One of the most defeating ideas.
And might find something, there's something left to do.
One of the most defeating ideas is the feeling like you're all alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have taken it up the cause of visiting the representatives in the House, mm-hmm. to say, look, with the ones that are actually trying to do the right thing. Mike Hill, who's a friend of ours, I said to Mike, I said, look, Mike, I just want you to know, sometimes it feels like you're alone, but I want you to know you're not. We may not physically be here, but we will be here when you need us, right? Yeah. All you got to do, and that's, I think, encouraging the communication with those people as well is so important, because they're there. Right? You say, hey, look, this is what we believe. You let us know when something happens and we will be there. And then you have to be there. I mean, look at the Tea Party movement in 2010, right? We got to elect Liberty people and we got to put them up there to represent what we believe. And I believe one of the reasons why the first influx of the sort of Tea Party candidates went up there and sort of crashed and burned, because the people sent them there and then didn't go and back them, didn't actually stand with them. And they were like, great, you guys stuck us out here to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why are you making that smile?
Somebody actually bought the Where the Bodies Are Buried t-shirt. I didn't know people could even get to that, man. I'll have to pull that up.
Does it have our logo on it or anything?
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness.
You know, it's one I did. Just as a goof, and so maybe
JC making trouble.
Maybe I can pull it up, but you know, you want anyway. That's, I guess. Did you say what you've said all you wanted to say? I know you wanted to talk about some other things, but you know, just I think it's important that we can learn from one another and learn those things, and you know, try not to. I mean, I understand frustration is real. We get that. You know, and I don't know, man. We don't have the answer for everything, but but we've seen some of this stuff work.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let me go ahead. You go ahead. Whatever.
Well, I wanted to talk about everybody's sort of talking about the pardons and what's happening and that sort of thing, but I think one of the disappointing things that I see...
I don't even know how somebody got to this t-shirt.
Where I bury the bodies is none of your business?
Yeah, okay, so let me show you. I don't even know. I don't know how. I actually don't know how to get to this from the store. This was like a side thing that I made, but I'll show... I'll try to show
there
everybody.
There you go. You got to close that window there, dear.
Thing. Yeah, so, I mean...
Now, almost, not everybody is just watching, dear. Some people are listening, so you
This is just a shirt I made just as a goof, and on the front it says, "Where I buried the bodies is none of your business," and it's got a little pickaxe and shovel, you know, crossed underneath. it's in, what is that, like olive drab?
Olive green, drab green, kind of maybe, thing. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, somebody... Somebody found that shirt. I don't know. I have to try to figure out. If anybody else is interested in that shirt, I'll have to figure out how folks get to that.
Yeah.
From the website. I don't know. So, yeah, great.
All right.
Glad you liked it.
Let's talk just a second very basically about the pardon process, okay? Because, again, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence. But I do want to assume that not everybody has an understanding of how it works. And that's what we're here. We're a teach show, not just a talk show. And here's how it works. A pardon is actually the only unilateral power the president can exercise. And as far as duties go, presidential duties, right? So I don't think it's a duty to pardon. Unless you look at it from a perspective that the purpose of the pardon is to undo justice, a misjustice, right? So the purpose of the pardon is to undo a misjustice, right?
Mistrial of justice and injustice.
That's the word I was looking for, injustice. So the purpose of a pardon is to to undo an injustice. Okay, so in that, that would be, everybody, Mac has joined us today. Mac joined us on Tuesday as well. So, so if you look at it from from the purposes to undo an injustice, then there would be a presidential duty in that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that would also be part of the check and balance on the judiciary that the president has. Remember, we have checks and balances that run between each of the branches of government, and one of the executive checks and balances is pardon, to undo what the justice system has done unjustly. But that is one of the duties that the president has with no participation in Congress whatsoever. The other duty the president has with no participation is to deliver the State of the Union address, okay? Which is kind of ironic because Nancy thinks that she's supposed to be the writer of the State of the Union address and he's just supposed to read what she's supposed to say.
Well, so Frank, I just saw that. So the president can, yeah, Frank for president, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the president... Can he pardon anybody, or is this federal?
No, he can only pardon people who have been convicted of federal crimes.
Okay, and then
that's pardon power that reaches into the state.
And it's a done deal. Like no, then that can't be undone. Like he's not allowed.
As a matter of fact, double jeopardy would apply, so they couldn't bring the charges back against someone again.
Gotcha.
The president pardons.
I didn't see everybody pardon, but I heard he pardoned. A pretty good number,
Of people. Number is relative. Like I told everybody.
One person.
If Chris Ann Hall was president, she'd be nicknamed the Pardon President because I just go through and clean house. But I'm somewhat disappointed in his list of pardons. So disappointed in his list of pardons? When I'm thinking about Mr. Roberson, who's been federally imprisoned because of his building a stock pond, when I'm thinking of the Amish farmer who's been federally imprisoned for his chickweed salve, when I'm thinking about Cox and Kettler, who were set up by their state, when I'm thinking of Schaefer Cox, right? These names that just jump in my head right away. And knowing the four or five names I just gave you are simply representative.
One was like some football executive or something.
The former owner of the 49ers who was convicted of illegal gambling and stuff. So, you can look into this all you want. You can guess, choose, fix, whatever, right? The bottom line is, we preach equal justice under the law, but look, you've got people there who are convicted of federal crimes that had deep, deep pockets with great access to top attorneys. And you think about Cox and Kettler, you think about Schaefer Cox, you think about the Amish farmer and Mr. Roberson, who was a veteran. You know, and these people don't have these kinds of resources. I'm serious, guys. Chris Ann Hall, President Chris Ann Hall, one of the first things I'd have done in the first 30 days is simply clean the rolls. That would be it.
There's not a limit or some time. So he can still pardon more people.
No, right? He can pardon as many people he wants. And
I think you need to make up a blog on this and then try to get it to him through some channels, because I agree with you, man. It's like, it was a joke when I saw.
Yeah,
I told
that's,
you it was
that's the first thing that came to my mind. This is a stinking
you
joke.
Pardon who?
And you can love Trump, you can hate Trump, whatever. I am ambivalent. I appreciate a lot of things that he does. I'm forever, eternally grateful to God he's not Hillary Clinton. And I'll be eternally grateful he's not Bernie Sanders.
But you know,
this is just dumb.
Pardon stuff comes through, like, interested parties. Like, the president didn't wake up and go, you know what, I want to pardon the 49ers. Like, that normally doesn't come from, like, it's not something the president thought of. People put that to him, so I don't see... If they can make that happen,
all right.
Then why can't
I know for fact? No, for fact that people have personally addressed Donald Trump on Jeremy Cox and Mr. Kettler. Okay, one of which you know who was actually working in the Trump administration, right? So I also know that Donald Trump has been personally, if not personally, but high up level, been told about Schaefer Cox.
Yeah, well, some of the people on the list were like Trump supporter, you know, Trump, you know, whatever, like, you know, we love Trump kind of thing. So
that's,
he pardoned his fans.
Yeah, and that is an indication of a level of corruption that I simply don't want to condone.
So Schaefer Cox,
want to support.
So Cox and Kettler and those guys, need to like somehow figure out how to do a pro-Trump YouTube video that goes viral.
Dragon Stallion said, if Chris Sandhall was president, JC would be the first Mister. You cool with that?
Yeah, whatever.
Cool being the first Mister?
Well, it would be a conflict because now, and then people are going to hear more than probably you want me to tell them, you know, but I'm
you make me spit no
I mean
water.
Well, I don't, you know, because you argue with me about this, but you know, because I'm, let me use your words, I'm an extreme minarchist. Mm-hmm. I see myself as borderline anarchist. I'm kind of voluntarist minarchist. That's my view.
Because you recognize that anarchy is not a stable form of government anyway. It's a transition from one government to another.
Okay, it's a different show. But so I would have a personal conflict because I'm kind of morally opposed to the whole idea of a president in the first place.
Yeah.
And then you would be the president. So I'm like married to a person who has a position that I don't even want to have.
Yeah.
You know, exist, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, and I know that Trump has been told about the Bundys as well. Now, Trump pardoned the Hammonds.
Right.
So we know he had...
And that was through internal pressure.
Right, that was through internal
influence.
Influence, right. We know that Trump knows he can pardon the little guy, right?
Yeah.
We know
not
he knows.
Not some famous...
Not some, you know, famous, big, fat money dollar Trump supporter kind of person. He pardoned both the Hammonds. So we know he knows he can do that. So this would, you know, this is... But historically, pardons are always a colossal disappointment. Because maybe, well, not all, I can't say always because it pardoned the Hammonds, right? But maybe, once again, that is an indication that the president, and you can put an S on the end there, presidents don't understand that delegated authorities create duties. And maybe they don't understand that the delegated authority of pardon creates a responsibility and a duty to undo injustice. And so maybe they think they have a limited number of pardons. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what. It'd be a lot less controversial to pardon Jeremy Cox, Mr. Kettler, Schaefer Cox, the Bundys, and... Mr. Roberson, and I forget. Pardon me, the Amish farmer. I keep calling him the Amish farmer because I can never remember his name. So you guys know who he is. It's no slight. But they would be far less controversial to pardon those people than it would be to go around pardoning people who have billions and millions of dollars with political influence.
Right. No, if I were there, we'd have to start a new department of pardons just to keep up. Because I would.
That's what I told you, man.
I mean, I would empty the entire criminal justice
system
of every nonviolent drug crime, period.
Yeah.
So they would all be out.
So that's our section on the.
In fact, every nonviolent crime probably.
So you can't blame you can't blame Congress for the pardons. You can't ask Congress for the pardons. Pardons fall solely on the shoulders of the president. So, like the pardons, then congratulate the president. Don't like the pardons, then go after the president. That's where that is.
Now, he did not pardon Stone.
Roger Stone, he did not.
Didn't want to look.
There's still some
sketchy
indication and some things floating around the ether that he's still considering it. But I think if he did that.
Like you, I'd pardon him on the way out.
Barr
would probably resign.
Barr would resign if he pardoned Stone.
Which would not be good for Trump.
That would not be good for Trump. I mean, I'm not a fan of Barr, but Barr seems to be the only guy with the fortitude to actually
cleaning house,
make
man.
Some cleaning house
cleaning
going
house.
On. So before we go, because
to an extent,
because JC and I have to get to, I have to get to a meeting tonight where I'm giving a short presentation. So we've got to run. But I want to say thanks to Doug McDougall
for the super chat.
For his super chat. He says it starts at the local and state level. Can I say that Absolutely. It also finishes at the local and state level? Because once you get your local and state level together, the federal government has to fall in line.
Yep.
Thank you to Dragon Stallion 1001 for your super chat support. Chris Ann can't give you extra hours, but can help support your efforts. Love you both. You know, Frank said this yesterday on his show.
And Liberty Cause, man, love you too. And
yeah,
I feel your pain, man.
So Frank said this the other day on his show. Frank said, look, if you're here, if you are even interested, then you have to support independent media. It really, really is a necessity. Maybe you can't support $1,000. Maybe you can't support $100. But just like a little, you know, a small group of people can make a difference. When people get together in their small supports, they make a difference too.
Amen.
And so please help and support us. And then we have Mark Taylor, who also
another super
chatted us.
Let me throw up a link to that that cool shirt.
Oh, okay.
Like
it's
I said, I don't even know how to get to this from.
Oh, there it is.
The
Buried
store.
Products.
I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because it was a separate store that I created rather than the Liberty Gear store. Mm-hmm. I was just goofing around with some funny stuff. Which I still have a few of those that I never put up. But anyway, there that is in the chat. It's kind of funny.
Joshua says he'll produce all our presidential campaign videos.
See, I don't know what I'd do.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your love and affection. Thank you for your support. If you go into the summary of the show, I give you two ways that you can support as well, other than the super chat. And you can support directly by going to chrisannhall.com, clicking the donate button. You can even support monthly through the donate button. Or you can text Impact 2020. I don't know where that is on the list anymore. I can't read that quick. Text Impact 2020 to 33777. And that's how you support us as
and
well.
And then go in there and find the support button.
Go and find the support button.
They've changed that up on me. So
did they?
Yeah. But anyway, you get a link to go to the page, and then on the page is support. If you're on the phone, it's like one of the bottom two little circles. So.
Well, thank you, guys. Love you, Lord willing. We will see you tomorrow. Just
take it easy.
God bless, guys.